You know, on a future program, we might just have to discuss the deaths of so many of the rock and rollers back in the day. Now, you know, the Who, of course, lost John Entwistle some years ago, not long ago, but a few years. I think he was in Las Vegas. In fact, I'm sure of it. And they found several different kinds of cocaine in his bloodstream. I don't know. I can't imagine why. You know. Can't imagine why anybody would do it to start with. It's a stupid drug. I understand it takes your money, your job, and then eventually your health. But you know, Joplin and Hendrix and Morrison and then later on John Bonham from Zeppelin and all these people, Morrison, everybody, and they came in such a quick succession. And there have been allegations made that Jimi Hendrix's manager was actually CIA involved in a program called COINTELPRO. So why don't we do another rock and roll show, but this time it'll be about, say, was it really just partying a little bit too much, or was there some other agenda at work? There's always an agenda working somewhere, don't you find? All right, right back with your calls in just a moment. This is Coast to Coast AM. Obi-John Kenobi in with you for the Saturday Night Ride. You know, I've always said, I don't want to live forever. I just like to hang around long enough to see how things turn out. Well, Sir Bob Geldof, yes, of the frontman, singer for the Boomtown Rats, has declared all humans will die before 2030. Yes, this comes from the Daily Star Sunday. Sir Bob Geldof has declared that we all have less than 17 years to live. The musician-turned-activist reckons the world will end in 2030, leading to the extinction of humankind. Sir Bob, are you kidding me? He was knighted. All right, 61 years of age, based his miserable prediction on the effects of, yes, climate change. Quote, the world can decide in a fit of madness to kill itself, he told a group of youngsters at a summit in Johannesburg, South Africa. The former Boomtown Rat singer also warned, the next war will not be a World War I or a World War II. It will be the end. He added, we may not get to 2030. We need to address the problem of climate change urgently. Sir Bob is best known for his attempts in helping to fight famine in Africa. Good luck with that, Bob. Staging Live Aid at Wembley Stadium in 85. Well, it's a good cause. I suspect St. Jude is his patron saint. You know, he's the patron saint of lost causes. Anyway, he finished his speech by apologizing for being bloody miserable. That's a quote. But added, just get on with it. Well, Bob, I mean, Sir Bob, what the bleep exactly do you mean by just get on with it? What, like, shut off the electricity? What, they're going to do it over here in November? They're going to shut the grid off, or at least that's what a lot of people fear. Probably not. We'll find out, won't we? Let us go to... I hope you're having a fragment of the amount of fun that I'm having tonight with you. Michael in Winchester, Virginia, Astro Line number 5. Are you there?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thanks for placing it.
I think another possible motive for the assassination of President Kennedy,
yes,
was because the conspirators did not want us to have a space program.
Well, they sure don't want us to have one now, do they?
Yeah, well, we did get the moon landings because the conspirators were not omnipotent. But NASA's budget was already being reduced by that time.
Yeah.
The shuttle, as good as it was never as good as what we could have had. And now we've had Ron Paul saying that America's manned space program is dead and that the corpse should be buried as quickly as possible.
Well, I got a feeling the U.S. Air Force Space Command is already doing some pretty wacky stuff up there. Keep in mind, there is stuff already deployed and operational and has been for years that defies anything in your imagination. just like when we finally saw the Stealth was in the first raid on Iraq. And that thing had been operational since 83. And they got way better stuff now, you know? But I think you're right about that. You know, the Chinese just actually grabbed a satellite out of space. Remember that James Bond movie where the thing comes up and opens the jaws and captures that satellite? Well, they've actually done it. They've actually done it. So, I don't know, man. For all I know, it's our money doing it. Our technicians working with them. I mean, I have a feeling it's one world after all, at least on some level, the very highest one. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Parting thoughts before we go on with another call?
Yes. I'd like to say that the people who gave us the multi-trillion dollar debt are the exact same ones who kept us from getting a moon base and manned expeditions to Mars.
I think you're right. They know all about it. They have access to all the technologies, at least knowledge of these technologies that we don't have. These things leak out and people roll their eyes when it's revealed to them and so forth. We are where we are, and, you know, we already had the discussion of how mainstream media and government together team up to keep us in the dark as much of the time as possible, which is why alternative media is such a great thing, and why I beseech you, don't put anything out there that isn't vetted. It just becomes part of the information disease, and we don't need it. So rather than try and cure it later, let's just not do it to begin with. Okay? All right, good. Polly in Buffalo, New York. How are you, Polly?
Yes, hi. Hey, you have your call screener is beautiful, and so are you.
Isn't she wonderful? She really is.
Yeah, and for seeking the truth and defending the truth. I second your vet that called. I really think that all of our vets, they have a big bullseye on them, and I think they're enemy number one of our government. So I think we need to really pray hard for all of them. I think that I didn't think it was such a big deal with Kennedy. I couldn't understand it until I started finding out about 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, you know what? We had better care. It's been 50 years, and it's been 12 years since 9/11. And the cover-up is a major debt, because people who can cover up have to have authority and power. So who had the authority and power to order the Secret Service to step down?
Sure.
But I find so many parallels with 9/11 and the Kennedy assassination. There were major cover-ups. We got ridiculous explanations by the media that people did not really question, like the magic bullet, the box cutters. Dan Rather, you know, lying, saying that after seeing the Zapruder film, saying his head went backward or forward first. And you know what else is similar is we had trauma in living color. Both days were sunny, clear days. We've seen it. We've been traumatized in a big way where we see this over and over again, the Kennedy assassination, the planes going into the Twin Towers.
Oh yeah.
And we have the Bushes involved. Herbert Walker was, I believe he was head of CIA at the time that happened. And you got George Bush's president, Marvin Bush, his brother, involved in the security of the Twin Towers. Not that it's them alone, but these people who are able to cover it up, they're the people who were in power. While this, and they're the same people, they didn't go anywhere, and this didn't stop.
Well, I noticed they also picked their successors, and so the secrecy and the cover-up continues, and as long as we keep butting our heads against this wall, eventually it's going to crack. Now, I don't know what it'll be, I don't know what the result will be once it cracks, if they all came out and said, yeah, we did it. Well, then what? You arrest them, put them in jail? It's an emotional thing. We need closure of this.
Yeah.
We do.
And, you know, one other thing is somebody has said that as long as we deny and don't really face and insist on the truth, that's one of our biggest enemies, and our fear of facing things like 9/11. How many people don't want to face that? We may not know all what happened with 9/11, but we know the narrative was a lie.
Well, you know, I've never embraced any kind of radical anti-American sentiment, and I do not now, but I can certainly understand why people in the know, who are going to be more in the know because they get news that we don't get over here unless we really fish around and look for it. I mean, sometimes I'm afraid, do you think they might be right? Do you think America really is the great Satan? It's like, no, America's not the great Satan, but some of the people who run this place, they'll certainly do till the great Satan gets here. Thanks a lot for the call, Polly. Appreciate you. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not really my... This is not really a job. You know what I mean? If it was a job, for all the computer problems I've had and other things, I probably would have said, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. This is really... This may be a little bit of a stretch for somebody, but I mean this. This is really more of a mission. That's in the same way that Jesse Ventura said earlier that he said, hey, you know, if I get 10, 15 more years, I can look back and say, no coulda, shoulda, woulda. I can say that I participated and tried to do something. And that the mission is to bring as much truth, not the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but at least a glimpse of the truth to start some people thinking, and then maybe they start gathering their glimpses of the truth and do this before all of these lies that are now being uncovered as part of the great end of 2012. Here comes the awakening. I mean, look at all of this. We all know what's going on, don't we? So bring as much truth as you can before the lie gets repeated enough that the truth is erased, and then the lie becomes the truth, and that's what you live with. Okay, we got time for another call. I know we do. Chuck. Can we talk to Chuck in China? Let's talk to Chuck in China. Are you really in China?
Yes, sir.
How you doing? You're in China?
I'm in China. It's 3 o'clock, four twenty in the afternoon, Sunday here. Time traveling ahead of you guys.
I'll say you are. What's it like in the future? Sure.
Thanks for your great work with George Norrie and Coast to Coast. I'm a longtime fan and a regular insider. I used the internet to listen to Coast to Coast daily.
What are you doing over in China?
Excuse me?
I say, what are you doing over in China?
Oh, I'm an independent technical guy. I'm building steel mills over here. I've worked all over the world since we can't seem to get it together in the United States to have factories. Maybe I've sold out. I'm on the road, selling myself. Some technical prostitute, maybe.
Oh, well, we're all prostituting ourselves in one way or another. Well, let me ask you this. Can you give us, what city are you close to?
Well, I'm in a place called Jiu, about 2.5 hours flight out of Shanghai, middle of nowhere. Nice place. I've got a lot of insight on China. I've lived and worked over here on a half dozen different projects a couple years now.
And generally, how is it?
It's interesting. Well, capitalism works pretty good here for these guys.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. And here a couple of reasons I called. I saw Jesse Ventura on CNN the other day. He was talking to that knucklehead, what's his name, Pierce Morgan. And he still thinks Oswald shot Kennedy. And that was funny. I was in working a job in Detroit, and the Kennedy limo is in the Ford Museum in Dearborn, Michigan. And they play, gotcha. You stand there and look at this black limo, and it's been refurbished and all that stuff, and they're playing the Zuperto film in the background. It's really eerie.
I'll bet.
If you're in that area.
You know, we ought to send Chuck Bergman, the psychic cop, over there. And just have him sit in the car if that was possible and just see what he comes up with. That would be very interesting. Listen, thanks for placing a call all the way from China. I appreciate you very much.
Calling using my Skype, so it's next to nothing. So.
Excellent. Well, thanks a lot, Chuck. Keep on going, pal, and call us again sometime. And when we are not pushing up, when we don't have the call bank stacked quite so tight and pushing up toward commercials, because I want to hear all about China from somebody who's been over there for years and years and years, just had an opportunity to, but there's so many of you waiting, I got to move on, I'm sorry. Molly in Lake Charles, Louisiana, how are you?
Hi. morning. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Wells. I'll just wade right in.
Go
as
on.
To the previous caller, I'm intrigued as well. I mean, how could a guy that obviously, you know, has all this, you know, intel about, you know, how America can't get it together and have factories, you know, here and now he's putting it together over there. I would just love to hear, you know, what his story is. And Bob Geldof, I mean, you know, I had no idea that I was, in fact, under the spell of the great Sir Geldof. I mean, I'm glad that he knows that in just a few more years, I can just give it up. I love that part.
Well, I'm thinking about jumping off the Hollywood sign early, you know, like maybe tomorrow or something.
Right.
No.
Right. And so I'm just, I'm not I was born in 1963. I mean, the whole Kennedy thing, you know, I mean, I just always took it as, I mean, I'm too busy listening to Dan Fogelberg and the Eagles, you know, to be too, you know, involved in any kind of conspiracy. And I think that, you know, as far as conspiracies go, we can actually give Mr. Venture a real glad hand, because I think he took a lot of part and parcel in, you know, getting the secret out in terms of, you know, all this rocket fodder that our young people have put themselves in the line of fire of. And I think that Mr. Ventura, you know, really deserves a whole lot of credit for just being real. As far as that goes, I don't even know. I'm down here in Louisiana, and I run across this book, and it's called A Rose by Many Other Names. It's by a guy named Todd C. Elliott. And the reason I thought it was just so intriguing is he's this dude from Eunice, and he's got this idea that this prostitute and known drug courier, her name was Rose Cherami.
Okay.
She was found somewhere outside of Texas on Highway 155. In 1965, outside of Gladewater, after having been hit by a car. Well, he went ahead and just, you know, followed her story down, and he's got some interesting concepts, you know, and his, you know, overall his bent is that there was a Louisiana mafioso crime connection involved. There's, you know, other substantiating evidence. He had access to the Garrison's files. He had this particular writer, you know, did his homework for all I see. It was published locally from what I can gather. And, it, you know, it's a quick read, cool read. You know, of course, everyone was a CIA operative or an OSS, you know, human, you know, back in the day, you know, from Chuck Barris to, I don't know, Julia Child,
right?
All these people, right? And this dude from Eunice, Louisiana. I mean, he's got some verification. He's got some photographs. He's got some stuff, you know. So I couldn't help but be moved to call. Never called any radio show before.
Well,
by these people that really
take this
stuff really seriously and passionately. I feel for everyone who honestly believes that one way or the other, conspiracy or not, you know, we obviously, you know, there's bad people out there and they do bad things, you know. There's yet another theory that there was a woman who was found on Highway 190. You know, in Eunice, Louisiana, and
right.
Her story
and her,
was that 2 days
and
before,
very quick, hang on.
On their way.
Oh, poor thing. Gotta let it go. Well, what does that tell you? Thanks for the call, Molly. I wrote down the name of the book. I'll take a look at it. A Rose by Many Other Names by Todd C. Elliott. Okay, we'll take a peek at it. This is by DJ Demi. Called Rise Up. Plan on it and come right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, somebody asked about a modern belly dance song, Middle Eastern with a twist. Any chance you can recall the name and or artist of that one? Well, of course, I selected it. That is The Forgotten People by Thievery Corporation. And those music lists are posted on the coasttocoastam.com website. Just pick shows, a drop-down box there, and then pick the show you heard it on, and the list should be there. If it's not, shoot me an email at John B, J-O-H-N, B as in Bravo, at coasttocoastam.com, and I'll get it to you. And by the way, thank you very much for what you have done as far as cleaning up your electricity. We're following an interview with Dr. Samuel Milam, and his a discussion of his book, Dirty Electricity, The Electrification of Civilization and What It Does to Your Body and Your Mind. On the CaravanToMidnight.com website, we began offering Dave Stetzer's AC filters. That you plug these things in the wall and you get a little meter. You need to get the meter. You really do. Now, it's more expensive than the filters. But if you have a pretty good-sized house with lots and lots of electrical outlets in it, then take this meter around and you can see the different readings that you'll get. And these filters are very effective in reducing it. Again, the deal is these transient frequencies are broadcast at you from the power cords that come from a dirty AC outlet. Even if it goes into a DC conversion box, like for your computer, effectively it turns it into an antenna and begins transmitting at you. And some people are really, really sensitive to this stuff. And it is being discussed in scientific circles that it may contribute to all this ADD, all this ADHD, perhaps even autism and other things. It's amazing stuff. So anyway, do your research, and there are plenty of links there for you to look at caravantomidnight.com. And because everybody responded so really overwhelmingly to this offer, we're going to go ahead and carry it all the way through October. And that is, if you buy, these are inexpensive filters. And if you buy five of them, we'll give you a free one. You buy 10 of them, we'll give you two. You buy 15, you get three. And you will be well served to get the meter as well. So thank you very much. I've got them plugged in all over the command center here, all over the place. And I don't think it's my imagination. There is a different, you know, there's a feel to a room. Your body can detect radiation if you just open your mind. And knowing that the radiation comes off the back of your cell phone, not off the screen side. So if you put it in your pocket, put the screen toward you, if you must do that. Many people can just hold their palm up near the back of the phone, and you can feel that stuff. It's not heat. It's something else. So check it out, caravantomidnight.com, and we'll be right back with some more of your calls. Happy, happy Sunday morning to you, if it's Sunday morning already where you are, and happy Saturday night if you're not there yet. Be right back. Stand by. Yes, here at Coast to Coast AM, we don't do mainstream-style economics, politics, and contrived social issues, just spookies, ghosties, UFOs, conspiracies, and Armageddon, courtesy of Sir Bob. Well, let's talk to Andy in Los Angeles on Astro Line number 3. Andy, what's happening?
Hi, good evening, John B. First of all, I want to tell you that you are, in my opinion, a really great patriot, number one, who is doing a tremendous service for helping to awaken the American public in these final days. Number two, I believe you are a very, very gifted air personality in the top 1-3% across the nation, I would guess, and maybe higher. And number three, I have a few quick comments, if I make them, and a question.
Well, after two compliments like that, how can I say no? Please proceed.
Thank you. And a great voice, too, by the way.
Good Lord, all, thank you.
And I want the American people who can hear these thoughts. Consider this. Tommy Franks, the commander of American forces that went into Iraq this last time, in his final speech, in his final day in the military, warns the American people. He says, one more 911 event. Something very similar or bigger. That's the end of our Constitution. That's the end of our freedom, the end of our way of life. And these words were given to us by a man who had great power and authority within our military. And we should think about it, that we're one day away, for that matter, one minute, 1 hour away from that big event happening, whether it be in-house or from another country coming in and catching us off guard. Number two, think about this. John Kennedy Jr., they call him John, I guess, he was approximately a week or two away from having this expose from his magazine, George Magazine, revealing who was really behind the death or the assassination of his dad. Suddenly, conveniently, his plane goes down a week to 2 weeks before that expose comes out. His magazine, from what I understand, is no longer to be found, and neither are the documents of that expose, which I guess he had poured a lot of resources into finding out who killed his dad. Number three, this Glass-Steagall Act, the very thing that was passed to prevent another 1929 crash, was taken, was repealed by Bill Clinton and Democrats and Republicans in the Congress. None of this is by accident or coincidence. Everything is orchestrated, in my opinion, and it's cause and effect. And they know, these people know exactly what they're doing. And unless we all wake up, increase our consciousness, and remember this, we only have one hope. And that's the creator who put this whole universe together. If we don't surrender to him and start believing, trusting, praying, and open up our hearts, we're done. We're done, Doug. Okay, the question is this. Did you ever see the swearing-in of the photos of the swearing-in of Lyndon Johnson right after the assassination with Mrs. Kennedy, Jackie, by Johnson's side? Have you ever seen that photograph?
Yeah, are you talking about the one that's got a picture of the guy in there that's like winking or giving a thumbs up or otherwise going, we did it, pal?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah.
My question to you is this.
Yep.
What woman, in your opinion, can you imagine, of all the women you've ever met in your life, could go through that type of traumatic event, see her husband's brains literally shot out right in front of her, to come so close to death herself, in the blink of an eye it could have happened, and to see and go through that emotional strain? For a man, it would be tough, but for a woman, I think it would be many times harder. How could she be able to muster up the ability to go to a swearing-in ceremony shortly after her husband dies like that? To me, it's almost incomprehensible and inconceivable, but I wanted to get your opinion on that.
You know what? That's a very interesting point. First of all, I completely agree with you. It even says in Scripture that if the nation will say, hey, we thought we were God, but you are, he'll save the nation. But, you know, to so many people, that's just a little vignette out of a comic book somewhere. As all of the very fundamental precepts of this country are cast aside and replaced with these ridiculous new ideas. Well, we'll see where all of this goes. And I have a feeling I know where it's going to go. Oh, there will be plenty of people swearing and declaring when they're about to be checked out of here. But up until then, it'll be like, no, I'm a staunch atheist. I'm a rational atheist. Like, really? All right, well, then explain this. W-H-Y? Question mark. That's it. Okay. Now, to address your question, yeah, I always thought, ever since I was a kid, that Mrs. Kennedy, the First Lady, Jacqueline Kennedy, she must have been one steady, steady gal. You would think that if there had been a galvanic skin sensor hooked to a lie detector, when all that went down, the line would have just kept going straight. I mean, this lady either had nerves of steel or absolutely no nerves at all. Now, recently, there was a Kennedy miniseries, which was actually quite good. And, there have been rumors and maybe even some confirmations of amphetamine use. And Jack Kennedy had a bad back, and President Kennedy had a bad back and was on medication for that. So who knows? Maybe she was just really stoned all the time. I don't know. I wasn't there. But you make a really, really good point. She was steady, 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 as sober as a judge. Get it? Okay, let's talk to John in Long Beach, long as we're in California. How is it down in Long Beach, John?
Hey, before I start, I want to commend you for playing that bump music, Banshee, a couple weeks ago. I fell in love with the song, and I found it. Now I listen to it all the time.
Oh, excellent.
I love that song. Anyway, I just wanted to mention something about Bob Geldof. I wonder when he made that prediction, if he predicted it would happen on a Monday. I mean, you know, that would really... really hate Mondays, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, unless, of course, he could tell us which stocks to short.
Yeah, right.
That'd be all right.
I had some other, just real quick before I go into my other thing. It's, you know, you got to think about Kennedy a little bit. I have to view him with a little jaded eye, too. When you think about the family and all the things they've gotten away with. And you know, he was bedding down a 19-year-old girl, you know, during the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, she wrote the book. And Barbara Walters had her on, say, why did you have to come out with this now? And which is hypocritical, because Barbara Walters wrote a book about 2 years before that about how she had a fling with the guy from Massachusetts, Edward Brooke. You know, he's still alive. But I think we have to view the Kennedys a little jaded eye too. I mean, they weren't angels, right?
No.
I mean, I'm not happy that what happened to him. I'm just saying, there's a myth about him too. People kind of forget. But
well,
I want
to. You know, the thing is, man, is even if he were rotten to the core.
Right,
it's still kind of a stretch to, you know, conspire to assassinate a president. That's a bit strong, you know.
It was a total coup. But I wanted to get on the other one thing about out here in California. I want to get on the illegal alien or undocumented immigrants thing. First of all, I don't think to be politically correct, we can't talk about space aliens anymore. We have to start calling them undocumented space visitors. Because, right. You know, we can't use that.
Undocumented space visitors.
Yeah, you know, because we can't call illegal aliens what they are these days. But I live out here in California, and I'm sensitive that we're a nation of immigrants. And I hear it all the time. But we're a nation of legal immigrants. Everybody that came into Ellis Island came in legally. And now it's like, and you hear this thing out here, you know, I don't know where you are, but you hear there's a lot of Latino leaders and student leaders that say, we demand justice. We demand to be made part of, you know, be made citizens. When I hear them demanding, I'm saying, I demand you go stand back in line and come in the way you should come in, and don't say, well, you know, they make it hard for us to come in, so we had to come in anyway. It's not a right to be here. It's a privilege. And when
I agree with what you're saying, John. The fact is that there is a huge mechanism. I didn't mean to just run all over you, but, you know, hey, we're talking here. Well.
No, but I'm totally, I think when I hear this, we don't owe them anything. They're here illegally. They're breaking our laws, and I don't know why we have to give them licenses out here and do all these things.
Well, it's because you got a guy like Jerry Brown in the governor's mansion. That's why. It's your leadership.
Right. Totally. I'm just saying, though, it's rewarding, and they think, well, we'll just take care of these 11 million. We did this before 25 years ago. But I guarantee you they'll try to stop any effort to intervene and keep people from coming over here. Additionally, in addition to this 11 million they say are here.
Well, there's a giant psyop going on. There's a giant psyop, psychological operation going on right now. A fellow named Servando Gonzalez has written an excellent book. I hope to get him on the program one day.
Okay.
Called Psychological Warfare in the New World Order. And it is an excellent book. And I recommend that you seek it out and buy it. Psychological Warfare in the New World Order. You'll like it. But we're being turned into a bunch of them. We're being turned from Americans into Americans.
And
by the time you're outnumbered out there, well, there'll be nothing you can do about it because the illegal immigrants will be, their minorities will invade our majorities until they've made our majorities minorities. You see, and then it's game over.
Right now, it's already a fait accompli. I remember Dennis Miller said one time there was some city in New York became majority minority or one city or something, and Dennis Miller said the first time I heard that, I called up the government. I said, I'm mad at the man because we'll be in a minority too. So we can all share, you know, hatred of the man, so to speak. But I just have this. I sat in a post office one day and listened to two guys talk. They were both Latino, and I sat there and listened to them talk about how they were able to finagle government, you know, reward, so to speak. How they were getting 1,000 here, a couple thousand there with disability and all that, and how they were able to finagle it. They were sitting there, congratulating each other about it. And I think that's where we're going because we
it's
don't
a big
we're,
fiesta.
We don't, you know, that's where we're headed. We don't have, we're not, we already, like you said, we already have enough of the lower rung.
Yeah, you're right, John. I got to bail, but thanks for the call, man. Very interesting stuff, and I agree with all that I remember of it. So that's a good score, Connie in Kansas City. What you doing?
Thank you for taking my call. I was really, really appreciative to hear your interview with Mr. Ventura.
He was good. He always is.
I had the unfortunate experience of having dealt with some of the Nazi war criminals that were brought here under Operation Paperclip.
Oh, talk to me.
Particularly with Joseph Mengele for quite a few years. And you know, needless to say, he was a real sadist. But anyway, he was involved hands-on in the Kennedy assassination planning.
Mengele?
One of his best friends here, well, his main contact here when he came and when a lot of them came was Prescott Bush, and I overheard many of his conversations with him. And, of course, he was involved in the planning, too. And as was Nikolai Mille Lacs, better known today as Henry Kissinger. But I wanted to let you know that they did plan it for Florida. He was upset when he couldn't speak to him, to Miltier, I think his name was out there, because he was being watched too closely. They had conversations with him on payphones out there. But there were three shooters, three, and they had specially made watches. The quartz movements were new at the time. They were ordered, I think, from out of the country, and the three shooters had identically, identical synchronized watches, and they were supposed to fire at the same time. I don't know how many times they were supposed to fire, but they did have these special watches.
And this is according to, and this is according to whom?
Well, this is according to what I overheard as a child.
Gotcha. Oh, you overheard it.
I overheard it. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I overheard conversations about it. And they talked about the 9/11. They talked about planes flying into the towers. And I remember thinking they were crazy because why would anybody purposely fly into a building? You know, I remember asking, don't they have windows? Wouldn't they be able to see them? Yeah, they planned all of this back then. It was all being planned then. The line of presidents was being planned then.
I think you're absolutely right. I really am right.
I'm telling you the truth. And I'll tell you another friend of theirs. He's dead now, but his name was.
You know what? We're going to have to save this until next time because we're out of show. But so you want to tell everybody good night?
Yeah.
Tell them good night. Okay. Hey, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Well, I certainly hope that Sir Bob is not correct, but I want to leave you with this. It's a little bit depressing, but please deal with it. Professor, we know all sorts of radioactive leaks are happening at Fukushima. It's just not being documented. Situation is extremely unstable. Next one, Arnie Gunderson. Major problem inside pool at Fukushima Unit 3. Building could shatter if another big quake hits. Japanese professor, I won't eat any seafood. I've changed my entire diet. And one more, another professor moved family out of country after finding radioactivity levels contradicting official claims it was safe. Quote, government doesn't want anyone to talk about radiation from Fukushima, but I will with you. So once again, come see me at caravanatomidnight.com and maybe do yourself a favor. All right, won't be around for a while, but I'll be back. Talk at you next Saturday night. Been a pleasure to be with you. And until then, that time when we meet again. Good night for now, and be well.